Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Lieber Sage, Graham Creech at TD Place. Bobby Hines, Cam, is back at the studio, 87 George Street in the market. Got Dean staff on site. We are now down in the tent for the first time.
Oh, baby. Beauty. I didn't know it was this nice out today because I had my window open, but you refused to open the other two. It's beautiful out here.
Well, good.
And Cammer leads off with Great Big C.
Let's
Canada
go.
Canada Day long weekend.
And you know what, Graham?
Let's go.
We're feeling so good, and it's 4:08. Shucks that we don't have time for need to know. So we can tell
so
you.
So yours is going to have to carry over till 5.
Can't see it. We should tell you that Trent Mann and the son of Rick Bowness here, both as assistant general managers for the Ottawa Senators. How about that? Ryan Bowness and Trent Mann. So you'd need to know that. Senators getting some things done. Kevin Durant has asked for a trade out of Brooklyn. USC and UCLA are moving to the Big Ten. And Nathan Rourke and Jeremiah Masoli are your two quarterbacks tonight at 7:30. Right here at TD Place as we lead into the Canada Day long weekend. We go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline right now. We got Red Blacks fans outside the gate here. They're chirping you, Creech, in your hat. We welcome.
Oh, that's a beautiful hat.
We welcome former Ottawa Red Black to the program. It is our good friend, Mr. Brad Sinopoli. Bradley, how are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. It sounds like you guys are having a blast down there already.
Well, how can you not be? You know what it's like here on a game day. We're now down on the ground level in the tent. Beautiful day. People are getting the field ready. Some of the staff out preparing the sidelines. Players rolling in. Long weekend. I'd ask you what Great Big C. I mean, I'd ask you what you're doing on the long weekend, but probably the same as you do every day now that you're retired, right?
Well, maybe. We'll see. You know, a little family time. Take a little rest on the weekend, but let's be honest, probably. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I do have a follow-up. Lee requested last time that the three of us spoke that you add more content to your social media, not just fishing. Have you honored that request yet?
No, not even close.
Nice.
Even
close. Nice. I support that.
I don't foresee that in the near future either.
Every picture is the same of, like, either Brad or somebody else in his boat holding up a muskie. Like, we get it. Okay? We understand, Brad. You're really good at fishing now, like you were really good at football.
Well, I'm not that interesting that I have really anything else going on in my life. Please.
Well,
you know that.
let's talk about interesting. Let's talk about this game. We got the Canadian quarterback, and you were a university Canadian quarterback that tried to transition into the Canadian Football League. So we're going to start there with Nathan Rourke, what he has done over the first 2 weeks, an 88% completion percentage. I think you were telling me about some of the drops that he's had, like basically in the receiver's hands, the incompletions, the very few that he has had. But, Brad, what do you, as a guy who played quarterback at the university level and was the best university Canadian quarterback in the country at the time, make of what Nathan Rourke has done so far in the first 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, it's just been unbelievable. I mean, there's no other words to describe it. I should add, by the way, before I continue, and this is a need-to-know thing as well. I just saw that Edmonton listed Trey Ford as
Trey
the
Ford.
Starter as well. So a couple of Canadian guys. I don't know when the last time that was. Two Canadian starters for the weekend. Anyways, it's just been incredible. I mean, he's been cool, calm, collect, like all of the stuff that you look for in a veteran quarterback that you hope your guy gets to. He's displaying that from the get go. And you said it, almost 88% as a completion percentage. And I know that people have been talking about, you know, a lot of the passes have been shorter, getting the ball in and out of his hands. And I know a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks that play that style and try to use quick game to get rhythm, and they don't have those stats. You know, we talk about him being a Canadian quarterback, which is a whole other thing, but just as a quarterback, he's having an unbelievable start, not only to the season, but to a career. So it's just been awesome to watch. I think it's exciting, you know, from the standpoint of watching a Canadian guy come in and finally break through that barrier and not just kind of keep his head above water. I mean, he's thriving, and you can tell the camaraderie with his teammates, the confidence that he has, the confidence that that Rick Campbell showed, I think, in him. And I don't think that we all saw the confidence that Rick showed in him. You know, we all kind of doubted that, I think, when we saw that they were going that route in the offseason. And you've even alluded to it before, but we kind of all had BC at the bottom of the list, right? And, man, they just proved everyone wrong, and it's awesome to watch. But it's going to be a tough matchup, I think, for them tonight. And, man, I can't wait for game time, honestly. I'm jealous you guys are down there, and I just can't wait to get down there and get this game.
How if he continues this start and continues to have this success as a Canadian quarterback, how big is that for the league?
Yeah, I think it can't be understated. It's huge. You know, I think for so long we've had so many fans and people that are involved in the league talking about it, and there's been guys that have kind of come close, guys that have played in the season, Brandon Bridge, you know, Andrew Buckley in Calgary for a little bit, but no one really kind of took it and ran with it. And now here we are watching it over these first two games. And it's just, I think it is huge for the league. And I even anticipate, you know, tonight's a big game. It's a big game for the Red Blacks. It's, Canada Day weekend. It's a gorgeous day. But I also think that Nathan Rourke adds an element to this game that people also want to come and watch. I think it's something that you want to go see in person. I think as fans around the league, people have wanted that for some time, and now it's here. You know, so not to put a ton of pressure on the kid and on the situation, but I do honestly believe that just over the years, I mean, you guys know, you've talked with people, there's always been questions about Canadian quarterbacks and who's the next guy, and if only this guy had the opportunity. Well, he's here, he's doing it, and I think people are going to be excited to go down and watch him wherever he plays.
Well, when we talk to the commissioner coming up next hour, one of the questions we'll be asking him is about the numbers that people watched last week, because that was the most watched game of all of the games in the Canadian Football League, and it was a 44-3 game. And Saskatchewan wasn't involved, and Saskatchewan's always the number one team across the country that's watched. So I don't disagree with you, Brad, and, you know, in watching him, it seems like he's well prepared. It's only two games, but the fact of what he did last year and coming in and earning confidence, can you maybe speak to that point specifically about what it would take for any rookie, let alone being a Canadian? I don't think that matters to some of the guys in the huddle, but for a rookie quarterback to come in and really gain the confidence and the belief of the rest of his teammates and having that even keel attitude when you're so young and it can be so difficult to do, it just seems like he's mastered that already.
Yeah, and it's, you know, to me there's two different levels when a new quarterback comes into play. There's kind of the first level of, are you competent? Can you run the offense? That's the first thing that guys get a feel for. It's like, okay, we're going to be okay. Everything operationally is going to be fine. We're good to go. Then there's that next level of the true confidence that this is our guy and we're going to ride with him through thick and thin, and he's going to be able to put us in the best position to win. That's on a completely different level. And I don't think that just happens overnight. And if it does, it's very, very rare. You could say that in the past, maybe a guy like Bo Levi, you know, guys like that. I truly believe that Nathan is in that category right now. I mean, he's not just a guy that's kind of figuring it out, is what it looks like. It is going to take time. He's going to have to go through some games where there's going to be tough moments. It's not always going to be, you know, 88% and blowing teams out. It's professional football. That's just the way it is. But I think that he's earned the respect from the guys, through not only through his demeanor, but obviously how he plays, how he handles himself, how he studies, just the work ethic, all of that combined, I think, he's kind of leapfrogged that process of earning the trust and respect. I think he has it now. And you can usually tell, I mean, guys are making plays for him. It's just the offense is on a different level. You know, when you're throwing quick passes, quick game, you're getting the ball in and out of your hands, and you need guys to make some tough catches on second down. You need guys to make people miss, to extend drive. That's all happening. So to me, that happens as a group when everyone has this confidence in everyone else around them, and it starts with the quarterback. So that's what I see. You know, it's just as a team, it looks like they're not only confident in themselves, but they're confident in everyone else around them, and I also believe that starts with Nathan.
Just changing our focus to the Red Blacks, and big game for them at home here, and I think most would agree that they played pretty well through two games and deserved maybe a better fate or better record coming into this game. But how crucial is it that they pick up a win and avoid going 0-3 despite playing pretty good football so far?
Yeah, well, I heard you guys talking about it earlier, and just the schedule coming up. And, you know, this game is – they're all crucial, right, in an 18-game season. And it's easy to kind of say that one got away, it's okay next game. But they can quickly add up, and things can quickly start going the other way. Now, again, like you guys said, the East is up for grabs. And if you look around, it's kind of a crapshoot right now. They have that going in their favor. But in terms of building something – within the team and getting confidence, you know, this is a big game for them. It's a team that they're getting on a short week. They have a bye. You know, technically, I'm thinking that they think they should win this game. That's at least how you should feel as a player. You do have an advantage with that. But it's a big game. It's you know, they've had a little bit of struggles on offense trying to finish drive. They put up the numbers that they want to. They've been productive, but they just haven't finished, right? And at some point, you can't keep saying that we outplayed them. We outplayed them. At some point, it doesn't matter if you've outplayed them or not. What matters is just getting a win. So I'm just looking at tonight. Honestly, however they can do it, they just need to figure out a way to do it. And especially as a new group, they need that confidence that they can win a game. And knowing that they're playing a team that's red hot, I think if they can pull this one out, it's going to do a ton in terms of their confidence overall on offense and defense, and kind of shoot them into the next two games that are also going to be pretty tough.
Brad, I've heard you talk about in the past, and we've compared it to the year 2015, where you and Greg Ellingson and Chris Williams and Ernest Jackson all got here, and it looked like a completely new team. I've heard you speak in the past about how important winning was early for that group. Can you just talk about the 2015 team, why it was important for you guys to win early as a new group, and what some of the guys might be going through here, hoping for that win, not just on the schedule and to get the 2 points in the bag, but what it's going to do in the locker room?
Well, ideally, I mean, you know, as a new group of guys, and especially on paper with how much talent they have, and I think they're all aware of the guys that they have in that locker room, you know, it's huge. I mean, you're there to win, and I think, you know, coming out of training camp, it's very easy to say that the team has found that chemistry. They had a great training camp. They look really good. They have this guy. They have that guy. But at some point, you know, they have to experience winning together. And that's kind of what starts it for them, that kind of propels them to where they want to get to. I think when you get behind the eight ball, you know, not to say that they have doubt that's starting to creep in, but that's kind of what you're fighting against. That's the timepiece that you need to experience a win. You know, losing a close game on the road and saying that you have played, you fought hard, can do something if it's one or two games. But again, like I said before, you have to start turning that into wins. In 15, you know, we were lucky. We got one early on the road in Montreal. And I think when you look around the locker room, you start realizing what guys are capable of. And it gives you confidence as a team, right? You can leave there kind of feeling great about the situation that you're in and understanding that, yeah, we can kind of pull out games in tough situations. We can make the plays that we need to in the fourth quarter. You know, whether you're up in the game or whether you came from behind, both of those are situations that just add confidence that you need as a new group. So you know, I'm sure those guys, look, they know they played well the first two games. They know they're a good team. They know they have great players, but that next step, they just have to kind of prove to themselves and to each other, so that when they look around in the locker room, that confidence is there. The last thing you want is to be looking around and kind of waiting for, you know, we're 0-3, we're 1-4, we're 0-4, and what's going to happen next? right? When you start thinking that, that's kind of when things, it's a slippery slope. So at all costs, you want to avoid that, obviously, as a group and as players. So this is a huge game for them, I think.
Often we in the media maybe overblow some topics or spend too much time on them. But I'm curious to get your thoughts, and I know you would have been asked this question as a player. Do you have an explanation or an idea of why the home record might be what it is, despite a great stadium, great crowd? Ottawa often gets talked about as one of the best experiences in the league, both by Red Blacks players and players that are visiting from other teams. Like, do you understand or get why maybe the record is why it is, or is it something that we're overblowing a little bit as a talking point?
It's a great question.
Let me give you the record too, Brad. 22-37-2.
Yeah, wow. When you say it, it's
lifetime.
It's kind of surprising to hear. At the same time, I was part of a lot of those losses at home, and you know, it's something that it is odd because there is such thing as obviously home field advantage. The crowd can help you. It certainly helps. And you definitely feel it as a player in terms of momentum. Just the energy, how difficult it is for other teams to operate on offense. At the same time, you know, I've pondered this before, by the way.
You've pondered this before, and we're looking forward to your ponderings.
Well, you know, it's for a couple of years. We put some difficult games together at home. You know, with some disappointing losses and. And then we pulled them out on the road in very tough situations. And I just think at the end of the day, you know, it is a game. When you, as players, I think you can do a really good job of eliminating the crowd noise. We were able to do that on the road and pull out some really big games, make big plays and moments that won us games. And so when I remove all that, at the end of the day, it's just a game, right? And I don't want to say that it's unlucky that some of the games that you don't win happen at home, but that's kind of what I ended up at least thinking to myself. It has nothing to do with being at home, and we should have the advantage, and we're not. It's just that it's a football game at the end of the day, and it just so happened that when we lost, it happened to be at home.
Yeah. So you know what? There is the Brad Snopley player answer. You know what? That answer we should have gotten, you know, 2018 when you ask him on the field, but I thought he was out of Mr. Clichéville. So that's good, Brad. So let me just throw this at you, and I'm kind of joking, but when teams go on the road, maybe can you just take us through a little bit of what it's like when you're away from your family, when, you know, you're in a hotel together, you go out for dinner together, you wake up, you have meetings together, where that's not the case at home. And everyone says, oh, it's an advantage sleeping in your own bed, but the structure of the schedule on the road is much more than it is at home. Can that factor into it?
No, you're right, Lee. There is something to it. You know, when you go on the road, like you said, you're together with your group of guys. You're all on one bus. You're all on one plane. From you know, a day before the game, you're spending the majority of time together. And whether that does something for a team, you can say that for sure. There have been times where you come into a game at home, and the last time you saw anyone, coaches, players, was the day before at noon, right, when the walkthrough happens. And sometimes it kind of does feel like a long time, and all of a sudden you just show up, and now you have, you know, you're not even together really, because as soon as you show up, everyone's kind of into their own routine during the warm-up and all that stuff. Really, it's an hour before the game when the early out. And you're doing the actual warm-up. That's kind of the first time you're together again before the walkthrough. So, you know, there is something too that I think. I think anytime you go on the road too, there is a certain focus that kind of just happens because, you know, I don't want to say the cliche of them saying it's a business trip, but it really is. It's that's exactly what it kind of feels like. You know, you're going there to do a job. Everything is structured for that job. You know, whereas at home, it's kind of, yeah, go home, enjoy the rest of the day, and spend some time with your family, sleep in your own, do whatever you do. But that part of that structure really only comes into play when it's game time. So maybe there's something to it, but, you know, I enjoy playing on the road because it really did get you into this certain mindset, I think, before just showing up at the stadium and playing.
Good news for the Ottawa Redblacks, though, 3-0 in East Finals at home. So that's good, right?
That's a good number.
Yeah. But this is not the East Final here tonight. So, Brad, we look forward to you coming down to the field at some point.
I'll be down there. Just got to get myself a snack here, Liam.
Okay.
Maybe a coffee and then making my way down.
Well, nice. you come by the tent on the first level to say hi, will you?
Oh, you know I will. I can't wait.
Okay. Brad Sinopoli on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline.
We still got some giving away to do.
Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. You're absolutely right. We got a lot to do in the next hour and 15 minutes because J.P. Bolduc will join us at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. The commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, will be by. Oh, fans giving it a thumbs up to Randy Ambrosi. Almost a thumbs up. I thought that's what I saw. He's going to come by at 5:20, and then we're going to start the countdown to kickoff pregame show early at 5:45 with Dave Naylor and sail right into the long weekend. Sounds good, eh, Creech? Talk a little bit.
Keep the vibes going.
I want to hear your Kevin Fiala take when we come back.
You've teed that up before.
I know. So we'll do that when we return here from TD Place, Lever's Edge, Graham Creech, with Bobby Hines with a little traffic and weather. Coming up on the drive on TSN 1200. Welcome back inside TD Place. Lever's Edge, rookie Graham Creech and rookie Dean Staff.
Okay, no, you know what happened?
No, I don't. I'm going to talk
since
about
we turned around, there was an extra headset added to my area.
And
I
just
didn't, no, I didn't know, or maybe it was already there. Maybe it was already there.
I was going to say, at least I know what headset I'm using.
Yeah, he picks up the wrong one. He blames other people.
There was no headset here, right here. I'm like, which one is it?
Dean, you wonder why I go crazy sometimes.
I can understand.
Picked up the wrong headset and blamed somebody else. But I, you know what, Creech? This feels like a U shirt here. I'm sure you've seen it. But the
oh baby, you nailed it! If we had a leftover five today, this was going to be my number one.
So Nazem Kadri at the parade today, wearing a shirt with the hug at the end of the overtime celebration, with too many men underneath it. He was asked if he was given the shirt. He said, "Nope, made it myself."
Attaboy, Naz, nasty Naz.
And I was going to ask, do you like it? But it's a rhetorical question because I know you love it.
Reminds me of $18 million over the cap and number one baloney. Shout out, Josh. That's how you do it. That's how you party. You see Bowen Byram?
No.
Oh. Denver Police? Hey, get out of here, fan. For joining the players in the parade? Oh, no. Hey, play for the team. He was kicked out.
The police kicked
him
out.
Yeah, I thought he was just a fan.
Or maybe they just didn't think he had played enough. That's fantastic. I love this shirt.
Are you going to buy one?
Yeah.
Where does it rank for you? That, the Kucherov ones, or the Kyrie, or not Kyrie. So I got Brooklyn Nets on the brain. The Kawhi Leonard.
You know what? I may recency bias feels like it's coming in here, but look, this guy's been through a lot and he's made some mistakes, Nazem Kadri. I mean, he's cost his team a couple of chances where I think he's let his teammates down, but he's also been through more than you or I or 10 of us have ever been through. And for him to go and come back from the broken thumb, couldn't even tie his skates to come and score an overtime goal in the Stanley Cup final and win a Stanley Cup championship, and people want to say, oh, there's too many men on the ice. Hey, I just won the Stanley Cup, and I did it my way. I love this. This is hard not to rank number one for me.
It's pretty good.
So, Kevin Fiala, rights traded to the LA Kings for first-round pick and prospect Brock Faber, and he goes on to sign a 7-year, 7. I think it was eight, nine, or 7.9 million per Kevin Fiala. Senator fans, some disappointed, some happy that he's off the market because they didn't want him anyway. Where do you fall on the Kevin Fiala is now a member of the LA Kings?
Yeah, I think would have been a nice addition if possible, but lots of things at play here, right? What was the return? Because it's if you just compare it to Ottawa's potential offer and return available, how different does it look? Because that's a lot different going from LA's pick to Ottawa's pick, and what does that mean for any additional pieces of that deal? Combined with the fact, does Ottawa want to go to that term and figure? Does the player want to commit to Ottawa for that term and figure? So there's a lot of things at play, and I could understand and appreciate why a lot of fans might be upset that Pierre Dorion and company didn't make that deal, because they feel that the Senators possess either similar or greater assets available to be able to make that deal, but there's a lot to consider. I think for me, I'm going to save my final judgment when it relates to Fiala and the Sens to what the Senators end up doing. If they pay in what I would consider greater value for a lesser player, or if they send what would be a lesser package for a similar player, like that's how I'm going to wait to react to that.
Right.
So, like, I'm not going to get upset that he's not a Senator.
So let me
based
ask
on
you,
not knowing what they end up doing.
Let me ask you about just the caliber. Let's kind of remove the trade aspect of it. The caliber of player that Fiala is, locked in for 7 years at almost $8 million per, to what the Sens will have to do in the future with some of their stars.
Yeah, that's huge.
Do you think that it's okay for them to go out and do something similar? Like, if it was a DeBrincat, if it was, there's a few players.
Yeah, there's
that are
so
kind
many
of,
things at play here, Lee. Like with
everyone's individual, right?
Well, like with Connor Brown and some of the other names that potentially will be departing the organization in the coming weeks, and a potential move involving Colin White, Nikita Zaitsev, Matt Murray, Connor Brown. Do they acquire a top four defenseman, top six four? Like, there's so many. Like, I hear what you're saying. I just have a hard time answering it until I know how the organization responds, right? If they go in, let's say they add a William Karlsson for a similar package or even less, I'd be disappointed in that. And I know that the term and dollar figure would be less than what Fiala end up signing for and extending for, but that would be something that would be disappointing. But maybe they add DeBrincat at a similar return. I'm gonna reserve my judgment on them not acquiring him until I see what plays out, because there's tons to play out. But I can definitely appreciate fans being upset that he's not a Senator. I think if you looked at Sens Twitter and the texts here the last, well, even halfway through the season, there were people penciling him on one of the top two lines. Like, how many of those did you see with Kuzmenko and Fiala on Stützle's line? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of people that were excited for that possibility. But I think I'm not going to be critical one way or another until I learn what ends up playing out. And maybe they were in on it. Maybe they provided a similar return that and the player decided, you know what, I'm not going to work out an extension. Like, or maybe the Senators thought, you know what, maybe there were talks of the extension and it was too much for their blood, given what they're going to have to come to terms with on a couple of key players in the coming days or coming years. So,
Dave Smart said yesterday on the program that he did not think it was a pipe dream that Nick Paul could come back to Ottawa. Now, he didn't say Nick wants to come back to Ottawa, or he's not his agent, like anything like that. Mm-hmm. But AJ asked him specifically if he thought it was a pipe dream. And he said no, he didn't think it was a pipe dream. So if they did that and brought Nick Paul back, they obviously have to give him more money than they offered him in the first place. Would you like to see that, or would you like kind of a bigger ticket to come in? Like, let's say there was Nick Paul, and then there was somebody else at $4 million or $4.5 million.
No, I would prefer
the big ticket.
I would prefer to see Nick Paul and a legitimate top six scoring forward.
Okay, well then, you're not getting a defenseman probably on the market. So that would be a priority for you to get a couple of forwards?
No, you asked me specifically if they came to terms with bringing Nick Paul back.
But if they brought Nick Paul back, they're not getting a DeBrincat or someone else.
And I wouldn't think that that would be enough. Unless, who's to say that they wouldn't bring him back and then bring in another player on a shorter-term deal, like a Giroux or something?
Right. So, that's what you would prefer?
Well, no. You asked me what I would prefer if they brought Nick Paul in. I think what I would prefer, forget the Nick Paul angle, would be a top 4D and a top 6 forward.
Okay,
But I was just answering your portion of the question, if Nick Paul comes back. I don't want to see two third-line players brought in, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Nick Paul probably is.
Yeah, and he showed that he's capable of playing those top. Yeah, for sure. Like, I know everyone knows what Nick Paul is, and he'd be tremendous in the community, on the team, everything, for sure. But I think this team is lacking somebody that can produce points big time in that role. And I don't think he'll ever do that.
We'll take a break, come back with more at the top of the hour. JP Bolduc will be along. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi going to join us at about 5:20. We'll start countdown to kickoff a little bit early as Dave Naylor will get things going at 5:45. James Duke Ellingson will be along as we lead up to the kickoff. A huge game for the Ottawa Red Blacks at 0-2 as they host the 2-0 Nathan Rourke-led BC Lions. AJ Jackbeck, Jeff Avery with the call at 7:30 here on TSN 1200. Lee Mercedes, Graham Creech live at TD Place. Bobby Hines back in the studio. Cam, 87 Jordan Street in the market. We are getting set for, well, the long weekend, really.
Attaboy, Bobby.
Thursday night. You can sing it if you want.
Attaboy, Bobby. Question for you, Mr. Bobby Hines.
Oh, boy.
Are you familiar with Great Big Sea? Like, did that reach your... Was that part of your party mix, or are you too young for that?
No, like, so I just talked to Matt Carnesvita beforehand, and he said that you guys were thinking about going with a Canadian theme. I don't know. I think he had already started to incorporate some Canadian artists. So he recommended I start with Great Big Sea, so that's what I did, and then Tragically Hip next.
But you had never really heard of Great Big
Sea. But yeah, like, were they in your
heard, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I've played them before on these airwaves. And
have
yeah,
you...
I've listened to them. I believe I went downtown one time for Canada Day. It was, I got through it. I'll say that. But Great Big Sea, I believe, played that day downtown on Canada Day.
So
that
was
awesome.
They were never a part of your, pre-party, tipping back a couple beers playlist?
Maybe if that's the kind of life I led, perhaps, but I haven't found myself in that situation too many times.
Okay, all right.
By the way, Cam,
we were curious.
We need to keep you wholesome, okay?
Yes, so wholesome Cammer.
Stay on the path, Cam. Stay on the path. Don't get led down by Connors and Creech and all these guys.
I'm not disappointed. I was just curious if people are partying in like grade 10, 11, growing up in high school, if Great Big Sea is a part of that tradition still.
Like, I can still enjoy good music, and I like Great Big Sea. I'll say it.
I just said I don't want him led by you or Connors or other people down a different path. That's all. Yeah, you are here, Matt, but you're not, which is unbelievable. Matt Connors is here in front of us, but he doesn't have a microphone. It's too bad. Wow. No, it's good.
He doesn't have to defend himself because he heard your opinion on some classic legendary Canadian artists earlier, so you could say anything right now, and it's Matt's got you trumped.
things I don't worry about. So we got the Stanley Cup celebration in Denver today. Kevin Durant has asked to be traded 2 years to the day that it was announced that he was going to sign in Brooklyn with Kyrie. June 30th, 2020, said they were going to sign there. And June 30th, 2022, Kevin Durant has asked for a trade out of Brooklyn, which has thrown a lot of people awry.
That's one of your go-tos, eh?
Awry?
Yeah. I like it.
I'm thrown off that Matt Connesvita's got his pass. Or was that last year's
pass? He's also got a big bag of Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Pre-game meal in it. Nice.
We got a big hour coming up. JP Bolduc, Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, Dave Naylor will be along. And I think when people discuss this game, there's going to be some eyes on Paul Appelese and Jeremiah Masoli specifically, because those are two guys that, as the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback, it's great to have 825 yards. It's not great to have one touchdown in those 825 yards of offense in two games. Paul Appelese talked on TSN Mornings this week about doing kind of a self-scout, self-evaluation, and some of the things that they needed to do better in, he called it the scoring zone. I'll call it the red zone. Regardless, it's where the money's made. Some people call it the green zone.
It's the zone where you were highly critical of one Trevor Harris for not
And to be honest with you,
scoring more touchdowns.
Hey, you be honest with you, I was highly critical of Jeremiah Masoli and his time in Hamilton.
Yeah, you were.
Who did a whole bunch
Sure if you remembered that.
A whole bunch of great things between the 20s in Hamilton and had a little bit of trouble scoring there. So he's got to find a way. The offense has to find a way. It's a tough defense tonight in BC. And then you have the Canadian quarterback, Nathan Rourke, and the former head coach, Rick Campbell, coming to town. It all sets up for a great way to kick off into the long weekend. And we'll do that with a lot of football talk coming up with JP Bolduc, the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, and Dave Naylor in the next hour here on The Drive on TSN 1200.